Welcome to another episode of the Mind Duck Books podcast. My name is Philip. I never say that. And on this episode, we are discussing the horror classic, Slugs by Sean Hudson. And coming back, joining me again, Daniel and Sam. Thank you so much for being here again. I can't believe
Slugs. I'm so excited.
I can't believe you would invite us back either after our last show.
I can't believe that if I was to invite you back, this is what you agreed to. But I'm very excited. It's awesome.
The culmination of a very intricate plan of yours, Phelps, which I applaud.
Couldn't fathom that this would work out, but it did work out. So please listen to episode 133 of the Book Returns podcast, where we discuss the movie. And this is the sequel, where we discuss the book. And I had lots of fun with this book for reasons you might not know. But before we get into
it, are those going to be reasons that are appropriate to discuss on this podcast, or are they reasons that you might not want to share with the general
public?
This
is another thing. I asked Sam and Danielle, is it okay to swear? And on their end, and they were like, I don't know. So this podcast is marked explicit by default, so I can't help it. I'm sorry. There's going to be some dirty stuff on this episode. If you don't like any mention of gore or, I don't know, intercourse, don't listen to this episode, I guess.
Or gore with intercourse.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm glad we saved the book for your podcast, because it is way grosser.
It is very gross.
Than the movie was.
Before we get into the book, though, how have you guys been? How is it going on your end? Any exciting podcast news?
You already announced the exciting podcast news, which was our Slugs collaboration, so that's really that's what we got going on right now, Phil. You're
our only lifeline. We can do all our holiday stuff, Sam.
That's true. The Winter Bazaar is coming up.
Have you decided on your Halloween costumes?
I don't know.
Oh no!
Yeah, you go.
Oh no!
I should get my sleeping bag out. We should all go slugs and maul people. Yeah. We have to get slime, cover ourselves in slime in a sleeping bag, and you get a slug costume. That's brilliant.
I was trying not to think about that part of the costume. Oh my goodness! In the book, they say mucoid slime. Excuse me.
It's true. Sorry.
So on the Book Returns podcast, you do the Spooktober.
That's close enough.
Spook Returns, very exciting. We do each do a Halloween-y type story.
Spook Retorts, excuse me.
What's your favorite Spook Retorts you've done, Danielle?
What are my options? What did I do? Oh, House of Wax I actually quite liked. I was thinking about that this year with Paris Hilton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I also liked In the Tall Grass, just because it was very trippy.
That one confused me so much. I had no idea what was going
on. That's why when you asked me to recap it that one time, I couldn't tell you what the plot was.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I meant to say, I always wanted to do something similar. I always wanted to plan a horror episode on Halloween, and I never found the motivation or commitment. So thanks to you guys, I'm finally doing it. Last Mind Duck Books episode was marked about vampires. This time we're doing slugs. And next time we're going to do the traditional, not traditional, what would you call that? Like folklore monsters from West Virginia. Do you know the Flatwoods Monster by any chance?
No.
It's a thing. It's a thing you have to know about. So that's our next week's on Halloween episode. But this time, let's get into slugs. Yeah. I'm so excited. I've read this second time now.
Why?
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was my question.
Because the first time I read it, I was 20 or something.
Long
time ago. So how did you guys like this book? Did you enjoy it?
No.
That was kind of fun. Come on.
I gotta be clear. I think I enjoyed this book in bookends, in the sense that I think if I just read the first 5 chapters and the last 5 chapters, I'd have a great time. The whole middle was, I found very dull.
Yeah, I liked the stuff that was following the main guy. What's his name in this? Brady? Is it Brady?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mike Brady. Mike.
But they call him Brady for most of it.
Yeah, all the stuff that's following him is great, but the middle section is just a bunch of disconnected scenes of deaths that don't really matter in any way.
That is exactly the Crabs books.
Yeah, but I don't know, I feel like there's more going on, at least in your recounts, there's more plot, more investigation.
Maybe.
Here, there's so little that the effort made.
Yeah. It's more like a series of episodes of people being eaten by slugs, and it's very random. So many characters switching, so that was the same in the movie, actually. They just reset the characters every other scene. But I have to say I enjoyed it. I have to say this is kind of my guilty pleasure. I always liked super bad horror movies. There's like Night of the Lepus is like a miniaturized city attacked by giant rabbits. It's an amazing movie. There's always like these ticks and spiders and crocodiles. And I always liked these movies. And that's why I read this book at the time. And somehow I remember it was hilarious, but I guess my memory fades, so it wasn't as good as I would hope, but I still had lots of fun with it. And I have to say it's kind of comforting for me, like some people watch anime, slice of life, these never-ending series, and it's kind of like you kind of know what's going to happen. And instead of the cutesy anime girls, I want my dirt and gore, so it's there, so it's kind of comforting.
I mean, I hate to tell you this, but you can combine those two things if you want.
I know, yeah, but it's still anime, so I'm not taking that. I just want the gore without the anime.
Fair enough. So I think I might be judging this book quite harshly because of having watched the movie first, which I did quite enjoy.
Yeah. I watched the key scenes from the movie, and they were hilarious.
Yes, like the movie I felt was just like, it has this energy to it. Like, it's very high energy. I wanted the, like, slugs, like, in the greenhouse. The slugs going to blow up the greenhouse. There was no explosion.
The garden scene was pretty amazing. Definitely the highlight of the movie.
Right, yeah. I want to see, like, the slugs kill people in these hilarious Rube Goldbergian-esque, like, death traps because they're slugs. They're not a threat, and they're still not a threat in this book.
They're much
book
larger,
that I can
though,
tell.
Sam.
No, they're not, though, because only the leader slugs are larger.
Yeah, the leader slugs.
Which we will get to, and I have thoughts on leader slugs.
Exactly. Dude, and they might have radio or something. Like, I don't know what happened there, but you'll get to it.
We'll get to it. Anyway, the point is, the death scenes aren't like fun and rompy. They're kind of so serious that they kind of like suck a little bit of the they're almost too graphic. Like they're not like
I like that actually.
Well, I mean like they're not. I feel like they hit an uncanny valley for me. Like there's the over the top gore of something like say Kill Bill, where the blood is so over the top, it's cartoonish. And I felt this is somewhere in the middle where it's just realistic enough, but it's not like cartoonish and it's not like sanitized, if that makes sense.
I don't want sanitized, and I do want like the attempt to be extremely serious by a not really good writer have hilarity ensue. That's what I want. What I was hoping in this book.
It was that. I get you're winning me over. I got to admit. I mean, I think I was just more, I wanted more. Is all I wanted. I wanted more. I wanted
and
more crazy.
At some point in the book, the book completely switched in my head, and I don't want to spoil the quiz, but you'll see what I was like thinking about the whole time, and it was hilarious. So I'll talk about it later. But I have to ask you one thing. How do you like the characters? Specifically, I'd like to ask Danielle.
The woman characters?
Yeah. You mean objects?
Yeah.
The sex objects that sometimes have dialogue?
Could you even call them objects?
Agency. Like,
I think object is the appropriate term. Yeah. They're all every time he introduces a woman, it's here's a woman and her pointy nipples.
Yeah, a lot of nipples.
Yep. Yeah, always the nipples.
Even
wife
of Mike, who was like the one that was probably the most developed, had very little agency and very little character and was mostly just there for like throwaway lines and sex scenes.
Yeah.
So I thought the writer was going for kind of like a theme that makes sense. You can see the process he was going through. It was like, I'm going to do something disgusting, something slimy, so things have to be moist and sleek and whatever. And there's going to be the food inspector, and it's going to be rotting food and the maggots. And what else is moist and slimy? Oh, there has to be sex scenes, and then we combine all that together and all this crap. And it's just so bad. The sex scenes were so bad. It's always the same rhythm.
I mostly skipped them because, like, as I said, you read one, they're all the same. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
It felt like very paint by numbers. Woman's introduced, given like two pages
so
of backstory.
Just so much
on this
backstory
character.
On characters that are going to die.
That is not relevant.
Yeah.
You don't care because you know they're about to die in three more pages. You get two pages of backstory, two pages of sex scene, and a page of them get dying horribly. So I was like, you could set your watch by this book.
I can't believe I have to agree that it's less explained than in the movie.
There's less and more. Because some
the more
stuff they do explain.
There's more like science and less like logic explained, like the plot wise. Yeah.
Okay.
It's insane.
I hate to derail us right away, but I have to point out. In light of after reading the book, I need to point out the dedication that this book has. If you didn't read the dedication, I'm going to read
you. I don't know if I read it.
Yeah, because remember everything we said, and remember after reading the book how this sounds. This book is dedicated to my daughter.
No.
Kelly.
I haven't read that.
And not just because she missed it the first time around. What?
Oh, my God.
What?
Well, he is that type of guy.
Yeah.
When I saw interviews with him, he's definitely having loads of fun. Anyway, I was very curious if salt was used. So I full text searched the book to find salt.
I'm mad about it.
wasn't there at all. And then at one point in the book, they mentioned copper. Do you remember?
Yes, the copper.
I was like, copper.
No, they mentioned the coppers in her purse, referring to the pennies, the coins.
And then not used.
Yeah,
so
not used.
If you haven't listened to our movie episode, it's repelling slugs. The copper should repel slugs. They are very, very irritated by it. So not used. So sad. No salt or copper. Just salt guns encased in copper didn't happen. So the writer, Sean Hudson, I would describe him as if Quentin Tarantino was a trashy British horror writer, had curly long hair and sunglasses, and thought way too highly of himself and had way too much fun writing disgusting stuff.
Point of order, Quentin Tarantino thinks very highly of himself.
This guy even more.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I've been watching interviews with him and he is hilarious. I love him. Oh. He just doesn't give any shit at all. And he's written 60 novels, and only 30 of them he admitted was under his name.
Oh.
The other ones he doesn't even say he wrote them. And he's super proud of being expelled from school and having many bad jobs. And they always introduce him as the grandfather of horror / Britain's answer to Stephen King. And even he himself, he's like, oh, this guy. And even he, when the interview started, he's like, oh, excuse me, that is not very appropriate. I don't think I can be compared with Stephen King.
Is it true that this is his most famous book or one of his most famous books?
He says that this made him money because of the movie, but he doesn't say it's the most sold book. So not really. Something called Captives, I think, was really popular.
No, this felt like I just put together. It felt very much like later Saw movies or like Eli Roth.
Oh, okay.
You know, like torture porn kind of stuff.
It wasn't that disgusting, I don't think. It wasn't any indulging in the suffering.
That's true. I mean, mostly not. There were some parts that got close.
This is the right level for me because I don't like Saw or Hostel or those kind of things. I hate those things, but I like creature, nonsense.
Okay.
Slug murder, that's my jam.
I'll be honest, this is a genre I'm not terribly familiar with, so you'll forgive my ignorance.
No, I don't have much information either, but I do enjoy those, unfortunately. So Sean Hudson was heavily criticized for his books in Britain, and every time, I think he's riding the hater wave on the media, because every time he releases a book, everybody hates on him so hard, and the media is criticizing him so bad, and they invite him to these interviews, and there's always the interviewer trying to make fun of him, and he doesn't give a damn at all, and he's always having so many funny retorts. So for instance, they told him that how does he dare to impale a cat on a wall and kill children in a book or something, and he said, of course it wouldn't be as fun to impale a dead cat with it, would it? And he said, children are vicious little gits, aren't they, so you'd better kill them fast. He said on the interview.
I know what, I like him. I gotta admit, I may not necessarily like his work, but I appreciate his chutzpah.
And then they start gouging the eyes out.
No, they shoot. No, 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 no. Come on,
sorry,
they shoot the eyes out with an air gun.
They shoot the eyes out with an air gun.
I'm fed up with being lambasted for these. You know, they don't gouge them out. They shoot them out.
I'm sorry.
These are inventive kids. Come on.
But the complaints are, well, golly, this is in the public arena. This is going to encourage kids to do this.
Nah, kids already do things like that. Kids are evil little gits. I mean, people. It's the same with old people. Somebody said, you know, old people wouldn't do this sort of thing. Have you ever seen them try to get on a bus? Christ, I'll tell you, they are vicious when provoked, old people. They really are.
One of the interviews, the guy was really serious. He was trying to play it a normal interview. And he was like, yeah, you're very criticized for being extremely tasteless and disgusting. And people think that your literature is complete trash. Would you like to comment on that? And I'm sure that you wouldn't be striving for tasteless. And he said, no, tasteless. It's exactly what I was going for. That's
perfect. Kind of the style. That's that Pulp Fiction style book that he's writing. It fits in well with that.
Yeah. So I think he's lots of fun in the interview.
That has warmed me up to him more, I must admit.
And one last tidbit I have to mention. Do you know the obscure comedy British TV show called Dark Place. The full name is Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Yeah.
You know him. And did you know that the character of Garth Marenghi is based on Sean Hudson?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. I must go reevaluate some things.
You can just look it up on YouTube. They have like comparisons. What Sean Hudson is saying in his interviews and what Garth Marenghi is saying, it's exactly the same thing. Yeah, so it's like, I didn't know. That's so funny.
Well, the thing about Dark Place is that it was a real turning point for me as a writer, because up until that point, I've been writing balls-to-the-wall horror. For this, I wanted them to kind of go, ooh. And I think that's one of the great strengths of the programme, is that it managed to bridge that gap between, and ooh, quite well.
You have to just make sure that everybody knows that you know what you're talking about, rather than just saying, oh, the bullet hit him in the lung and exploded from his back. Coupled with the fact I do quite enjoy writing these disgustingly descriptive passages.
As a horror writer, there are certain words you don't use when you're writing a sex scene. Balls, knickers, scrope. It's not clever, it's not sexy, it's bad writing.
If you read a horror novel, you, like I say, you're expected, or people expect to have the shit scared out of them, expect to be moved in some way, whether it's to the toilet or the psychiatrist. You need to make them feel an extreme reaction, and the only way to make them feel an extreme reaction is by writing in an extreme way.
I know writers who use subtext, and they're all cowards.
And they asked Sean Hudson about Garth Marenghi, and he swore profusely, and he said he has no idea who that is, so he's not in on the joke, but...
Oh, that's too bad.
That's too bad. So maybe that will change. So a little bit about the book. It's from 1983, 200 pages, and it shall not be confused with the book Slugs by David T. Greenberg from 1982. No, sorry, vice versa. 1982 is Slugs, and 1983 is Slugs.
Got it.
But the children book... The children's book, illustrated by Victoria Chess, is something else. So if you're a fan of Slugs, dear listeners, please go on Google and type David T. Greenberg, or just Greenberg and Slugs, and have a look at this children's book.
Yeah, I saw that when I was...
This is like
Googling.
A horror children's book? I was like, what? How did they even release this?
I missed that.
So I sent you a link, guys, if you want to have a quick look. This is more disturbing than the book and the movie combined. I was very disturbed watching, looking at these pictures and reading the captions of the...
See, this is what the book should have been.
Yeah. I mean, look, to the kid walking the slug on a leash, that's the kind of giant slug I wanted.
To quote a page from this book, they say, they'll grab you by your chin, butter you with germs, throw you on the window, mess you up with worms. And there is a child being eaten by slugs.
Yeah. That is the plot of Slugs by Sean.
Clearly there was collaboration.
So I'm very curious who was inspired by whom. But whatever, This is one of the most disturbing children's book I've ever seen.
The slug in the bikini really sealed it for me.
Oh my god. And the last tidbit I want to mention is there is a sequel to this book. Well. Came out in 1985, called Breeding Grounds, and people are amazed by the sequel. I have read reviews and stuff, and people are saying, for example, I was 14 and this book changed my life.
For the better?
It's called Breeding Grounds, so who knows?
Oh, no.
Other person said, this is the new kind of horror, a plague which spreads insanity and death. This is the ickiest thing I've ever read. It was amazing.
They're slugs. They're not scary.
Yep. Other person said, this is what the first book should have been. This is so much better than the first book. Explicit sex, graphic violence, slime, urine, excrement, anything, everything I ever wished for. So much nastiness, I love it so much. So people love this book for some reason.
I can't imagine why. People love gross things. Shocker. More news at 11.
So slight spoiler, people become reanimated with slugs inside them or something.
See, now you need to read that
interesting
one,
premise.
Sam.
I'm on board.
Well, there is no more after this one. Don't worry. This is the last one. There is no more sequels.
Okay. Maybe I can stick it out.
But needless to say, I am very, very intrigued to read this, but I shall try to find the victim to read this with
Sam
me.
Will
I'll
do
see
it.
What you can do after this episode. But I'm not promising
Probably.
Anything, but you'll see. only 200 pages, so it's fast.
Yeah, no, that, and that probably is super gory.
It was very fast.
Even though it feels very long, it's not very long.
Yeah. So before we get into the spoilers and the quiz, would you recommend this book?
I'd recommend the movie. I think the movie was a lot of fun. I certainly had more fun watching the movie than I had reading the book. I think the book is...
so sad.
No, I think the book isn't, like, if you're really, like, if you're like you, Philip, and you're into that kind of really pulp stuff, I think it's a good thing, but I don't think it's something that the average person who isn't, like, deep in the pulp, you know, horror rabbit hole is going to like.
Mm-hmm.
So I think...
I see.
I would say go for the movie first, and if you really love the movie, give the book a shot.
Yeah, I would agree if somebody likes pulp books or that style of books or creature feature type things, then yeah, the book's probably really fun to read. I wouldn't just like suggest it to a friend as like, hey, you got to check out this book, it's great.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, it's not a really funny, it's not cringy enough, it's not like over the top enough, it's not the middle part. Mm-hmm. Like Sam mentioned, was kind of dragging and it was kind of repetitive with the, but there were some scenes I enjoyed thoroughly.
Absolutely.
Like the rabbit, or the like stuff like the first chapter kind of won me over. First chapter was kind of what I was hoping this would be like. There was actually kind of scary, like this could happen or whatever, and it was kind of gory, it wasn't too over the top.
I have a question about the opening of this book. Maybe I misunderstood something, but he opened the book talking about how the slugs, like there had been meat thrown down to the basement.
Oh, sorry, second chapter. No, this one.
Okay. Well, okay. I have a question about the very first paragraph of this book, all right? Like, who... Did I misunderstand it? But it sounded like he was saying that somebody was throwing meat down into the basement of the room with the slug.
Also, somebody who is a professional butcher was leaving meat in a cabinet or something. So yeah,
no, what? Why was there meat being thrown down into the slug basement? Like, I thought for a minute here, like, okay, maybe these slugs are some kind of like experiment. Dude is like feeding them, like, my pretties, yes, they will soon unleash you on the. But he just mentioned that they were being fed in the basement and then they escaped, and like, who was feeding? I'm baffled.
This is what I am hoping for in the Breeding Grounds, the sequel, because somebody's gonna be mind controlled by the lead slug and then they will breed and like feed the slugs to breed a slug army and something like that. It's gonna be the sequel, I hope.
But we'll find out.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
No, I have so many things I'm angry about these slugs and their mode of their modus operandi, which is BS. We'll get there.
So I would recommend it to people like me, but yeah. I wouldn't recommend it to, I guess, you guys who listen to this podcast, because you mostly listen to us for like sci-fi, fantasy, like something to actually, you know, find a good book to read. So this is not for you guys, unfortunately. This is just me. So as I promised, I have prepared a nonsensical quiz for Sam and Daniel.
I'm so scared.
Quiz me up, baby.
So I'd like to call this game Slither or Come Hither.
Slither or Come Hither?
I am uncomfortable with both of those.
Very much intended. To simplify, I'll call this Slug or Love.
Okay.
That's not better.
So the game is...
I
have 10, okay. 10 lines from this book for each of you. I'll read you a line of the book, obscuring some parts of it, omitting parts of it. And the question is this foreplay or is this a slug attack?
Oh, this is a really good game. I love it. This is going to be very difficult.
Oh, God. Some of those scenes are so bad.
Slug attacks. The slug attack is a sex scene. Like, there's no difference. I didn't write the book, Danielle. Don't give me that look.
Exactly my point. Many times, both are happening at the same time. But at one point, it switches to slug attack. So the question is the character enjoying this or is he dying? Is the question.
I'm terrified.
I had way too much fun with this because at one point, there was like the fifth sex scene, you know, cleft happened again. I was like, damn it. And then the next slug scene like followed. I was like, this could be the same. Like they could, if you replace slug with cleft, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Honestly, you're not wrong.
So after that point, this book was hilarious. I was like, what is this? This is so bad. So there's going to be 10 for each of you. And then I have a final question. Where
each?
You can... Yeah. It's going to be fast. Don't worry. It's pretty easy sometimes. And then at the end, the person who's losing can take the final chance to answer The final question to have a final chance to win. It doesn't make any sense, but we'll come to it.
Let's do it. It's
great.
Yeah.
Woo, you're going down. I know more about slug sex than you, Danielle.
Slugs or hugs.
Slugs or hugs. That's a good one.
Slugs or hugs. Yeah, that should have been the name. But hugs aren't sexual enough, so I didn't go for it.
That's fair.
They are when a slug does it.
All right.
So number one for Danielle.
Okay.
So super easy. Slug or love? They slithered over one another in their impatience.
That's so hard. Why is it so hard?
I'm like, what?
Slug.
Yay! 1 point for Danielle.
I was not confident.
The full line is, they slithered over one another in their impatience like an undulating black carpet.
Ew. That doesn't change.
That hasn't cleared it up.
I omitted the black carpet. All right, number one for Sam. Sliding further down his body until it enveloped his... ..
I got this one. That's definitely love, because it's his engorged penis, almost certainly.
Yes, yes.
Am I right? Is it engorged penis? Or member, or whatever
penis,
euphemism?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course it is.
So number two for Danielle. The slurping, sucking sounds they made... .. It's getting more difficult. I omitted more because it would be too easy if I said more.
Slugs.
Yes.
I wish I read the sex scenes now.
I know, I skimmed them so hard.
Me too.
I didn't know there'd be a quiz on them.
So the slurping, sucking sounds the slugs made as they slithered over one another. They seem to be so many of them, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, this one is not so disgusting. So next one for Sam.
Gulp.
One of her hands fell to the rapidly growing ..
Oh, I mean, I know my instinct is love, and again, engorged penis is the obvious answer for the .. I gotta go with it.
Yes, you're correct. Yeah, okay, you're correct. I'm being too easy, so we have 2 for 2.
Yes, but we're very unsure.
It's like, okay, too obvious. That's the key part about this, is we're maybe getting these right, but we are like 50-50 on every guess.
It was the rapidly growing bulge in his pants.
Yes. Okay, well, tomato, tomato.
So next one for Danielle. I should have warned people again. This might be disgusting sometimes, so I apologize.
So what about me? I deserve an apology too.
You're fine. You're fine.
I don't know if my ears can handle this, being such a feminine person.
Be strong, Danielle. You're such a delicate flower.
So next one for Danielle. Sliding up the inside of her thigh, Donna felt it in her crotch.
Slug.
Yeah,
yeah,
slug.
Correct.
I remember that one.
Wow.
That one I remember.
Gross scene. Yeah, that one's hard to forget. Yeah.
Ew.
Seared into your brain.
That was a bad scene. Yes, this one went too far a little bit. So for Sam, restless, as if sensing that this was just the beginning.
That's gotta be slugs.
No, that's too easy. You did read this book.
No, so but like, nobody was like restless. They were going at it like teenagers. Some of them were teenagers. But the point is, no one was like passion. It was just straight to the sex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So number four for Danielle. Their mouths moving constantly, tasting the ..
Slugs?
Yes.
Okay. That was a tricky one. I was unsure about that one.
He talks about their mouths a lot.
He does. Yeah. Also, question about the slugs. Sorry. He mentioned one big tooth, but also all their other... Do they have just one giant tooth?
There's like a rows of teeth. There's rows of
teeth.
Teeth.
Were they like narwhals with like one giant tooth that they
used
to latch
on
people?
No, he keeps mentioning that they like bite into it with this central like tooth something. That doesn't exist. It's the mutant slugs.
What is that? Is it a slug narwhal? Okay, sorry. I derailed this again, but slug narwhals
it's
is
fine,
an
it's
image.
It's fine, it's fine. I had the same question exactly, but I don't think this exists. Mutant slugs are not explained in this book. They were
in
the movie.
They're just regular slugs that learn to eat meat from leaders. I hate it.
So number four for Sam. He raised one hand .. Then with a final groan, he ..
That's nothing. That's literally nothing.
I have to make it somehow challenging.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Slug.
Yes.
It's a death scene.
That's a death scene, right? He raised one hand and finally succumbed. Yeah.
He raised one hand as if in silent reproach, and then with a final groan, he blacked out and fell into the sea of black beasts.
Gross.
Wow. That was the closest one I've had. The one I was least sure about. I'm getting like lower and lower percentages on my confidence.
So next one for Daniel. Number 5. He watched his mouth open. Once he chuckled.
Oh, I know this one.
Repeat that. I need to repeat.
He watched his mouth open. Once he chuckled.
Slugs?
Yes.
It's before. Yeah, that's right.
The rabbit death.
Yeah.
It's the rabbit. It's watching the rabbit scene.
Also could have been a sex scene.
Yeah, honestly. Chuckling is my first reaction.
Okay, next one for Sam. He clutched the bed, his muscles in his arms standing out like cords of thick hemp.
Okay, this is a tricky one because it could be somebody having sex or being killed just after having sex.
Yes. Now he's getting more serious.
Oh my gosh, this one, I can't remember the order of when this happened. Which came first, the sex or the slugs?
The question is he enjoying this or is he dying?
I'm going with sex. I'm going with love on this one.
No!
Wrong. It's dying. I'm sorry.
I thought this was Tony's coitus. Tony's cunnilingus action here.
No. This was when he got the slug in his stomach. And he was dying. Like...
God. All right. Well, this shows what I know.
Yeah. Sorry, Sam.
That's all right.
Next one for Danielle. The speed of movements increasing, and Watson felt the unmistakable waves of ...
Hey, Watson?
Let me say that again. That's a character we forgot. The speed of movements increasing, and Watson felt the unmistakable waves of ...
Slug?
That's a hard one.
Slugs.
I'm trying to make it harder. No! Sex!
I don't know who Watson is.
Yeah, exactly.
Her hand gripped his organ more tightly, the speed of movements increasing, and Watson felt the unmistakable waves of early pleasure sweeping
over him.
That's
right, I remember that line for some reason. The early pleasure.
I don't.
Okay, so Daniel's 1 point in the lead.
We're both 1-1, aren't we?
We both missed one.
Oh, I didn't write it down.
We're tied.
So, yes, tied.
Thank you, Daniel, for your scrupulous honesty.
It's no fun to win if you win by lies.
You don't win cheating. Yeah, exactly. No asterisk in this logbook.
So next one for Sam. Feeling something wet and slimy.
Been there.
Blocking the fingers.
Wet and slimy blocking the fingers?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say slugs, but I'm seriously contemplating what slimy thing would block fingers and where. This feels like a trick question.
That's the problem with all of them.
I feel like I'm being set up, but I gotta go with my first instinct. I gotta say slugs. I'd be an idiot if it wasn't slugs.
And it sucks.
Yeah, okay.
This is the garden glove scene.
Right, okay.
Not any smarter in the book.
So for Danielle, number 7. Plunging deeper to find her slippery ...
Ew.
Uh-oh.
Vomit
Uh-oh.
In my mouth.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure myself. I have to look this up. I don't remember.
Hey, Philip, we got a quiz for you. What'd you write down?
Luckily, I have the book right here, so... Okay, I found it.
I mean,
it's okay.
I'm really... It's what I'm hoping that versus I know, what it hard. Might be, and that's way worse. Repeat it again.
Oh, please don't.
Plunging deeper... Plunging deeper to find her slippery ...
You know what you're thinking. We're all thinking it's the same scene, Danielle.
There are many scenes like that, and one of them is the one we don't like. So yes. Is it that one? Is it something else? It might
I'm
be both.
I'm gonna say love.
Yes, yeah, you got the point.
Oh my god.
So next one for Sam. Forcing its way past his teeth.
No, oh, it's gotta be a slug.
Okay,
hey, come on now. How come I get the hard one?
Nobody has to force their way in Yeah, nobody forces their way into, like, everyone's like, yeah, get on in there, buddy. Love it. They're all eager. That's the one positive I'll say. Everyone is a willing partner and an eager partner in this book. So okay, that's a positive.
That's true. It's, yes. Even the slugs gave consent.
No, the slugs are the one people who don't respect consent. Let's put it out that way.
All right, number 8 for Danielle. She felt the unmistakable twitchings. Dot, dot, dot.
Love.
Yay! Correct.
Unmistakable twitching of Danielle, slugs is, going up her vagina.
No! Don't mention the scene that shall not be mentioned.
As he neared his climax, is the answer. Next one. So it's dot, dot, dot form filling her mouth.
I know what I want to say. Again, I have an instinct. Every time you give an answer, my first thought is, oh, it's this. And I'm like, wait, am I wrong? Because I could be wrong. But my first instinct was slug.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So we got 2 left to go. I apologize for this one, Danielle, but it's going to be easy. But I apologize, I have to say this.
No, Danielle.
The black thing forced its way into her.
Slug.
Yes, let's go for it. Let's just move on and let's discuss this. Next one. Undulating rhythmically, dot, 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 he began to groan, dot, dot, dot.
That's an either or. It could be anything.
This could be stomach ache dude again, or his headache when he is, like, but I don't think he, like, undulated.
No guarantees. It's a sexy move.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't think, like, I'm talking about during his, like, stomach ache. I don't remember him undulating in the restaurant while he's trying to get the guys to sign the contract. Like, maybe that was like his, like, ooh, let me undulate for you. Sign the contract, baby. Really good salesman. Screw it. Let's go with sex scene.
Oh.
No, it's Lux.
Oh, no.
This is the glove scene. His bulging eyes watched the material of the glove undulating rhythmically as blood began to run from his wounds.
I never thought of something that wasn't a person undulating. That's all me.
I didn't know slugs had a sense of rhythm.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, obviously they can dance.
Now he began to groan in terror, and the groans gradually turned into shouts.
Oh, man, I've missed 2. Danielle has only missed 1, so...
That's true.
So Danielle's in the lead, and we have the last one to go.
Yeah, yeah. So you better miss this one, or I can't tie it.
Jinx me.
He set up S, dot, 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 threw him from sternum to groin.
Slugs.
Yes.
I remember that one, too.
He set up as excruciating pain tore through him from sternum to groin. And last one for Sam. Sensing the warmth beneath the overalls.
Slugs?
Yes, correct.
that was what's his face? Don being murdered by slugs, right?
It's at the end, I think, when they go to the sewer and he.
Yeah. Yeah. Don Palmer, what his name.
So Danielle won, I think.
All right, don't I get the Hail Mary?
Yeah, you get the Hail Mary. It's a super difficult question. And the question to have Sam win one last time. I don't know how this quiz works, by the way. But if you get this,
we don't either. Sorry, Danielle. I'm coming back.
Okay, this one's for 2 points, but it's pretty difficult. I don't think he's going to get it.
Go ahead, Sam.
So I have 5 choices, and the question is...
What?
It's super difficult, but if you get it, you win.
Okay.
So which of these did the writer not use to describe slugs? So I have 5 phrases. Each of them is black something.
Got it.
And which of these black something did he not use to describe slugs in this book?
Okay.
So A, black monstrosity.
Sure.
B, black beasts.
Yeah.
C, black thing. D, black terror. E, black creature.
He's right. This is very difficult.
So is it monstrosity, beast, thing, terror, or creature? Which one did he not say in this book?
I'm torn between 2 of them. They're both probably wrong. Do you know, Danielle? Do you have an idea?
I wouldn't tell you anyway. No idea? I'm in the lead. Why would I tell you?
I'm not saying you should tell me. I'm just curious. Like, if you've got this, I'll be even more embarrassed.
I've got a couple that I know for sure are in there, but I'm not positive about a couple.
Yeah. I was going to say, let's say Black Terror.
You got it! You got
it! Oh, oh my gosh! Yeah! Suck my slug!
This game seems very rigged.
Awful. Awful.
Rigged?
It's awful.
It's not like we were tie and there was like a tiebreaker.
I didn't think too much about how this worked. I'm sorry.
The strategy was, Danielle, and here's why I use my big brains. I purposely answered the questions wrong so I can get the tiebreaker.
That's not All right. Thank you so much. I had way too much fun with this quiz. I was like looking up all these sex scenes. It wasn't.
That was stressful.
Surprisingly difficult.
I'm sweating. Yeah. The panic really gets you. Like, oh, this should be easy. No.
I'm glad I got you. I was worried for a bit that you'd get 100% of everything. So I'm glad I got you a few times.
Danielle got 90%, which is still very good. Yeah.
It's very impressive.
It all began in a peaceful community, a place that had never known evil. Until now. But 20 years ago, in the stillness beneath these waters, something happened. And now, its deadly spawn has been released. Coming up from the depths, out into the light. Slugs. First, they got into the water system. Now, they'll get into your system.
Oh my God!
They ooze.
There's something down there that's killing people.
They slime.
We got a new dead body showing up every 10 minutes.
They kill.
We're dealing with a mutant form of slug here, a kind that eats meat.
Slugs. It may be the most shocking movie you will ever see. Slugs.
All right, so if you've decided after this example of classic slug literature that you're reading this book, please stop listening and come back after you've read this. We'll try to recap the plot. And
big quote unquote.
Quote unquote. And we'll spoil this thoroughly. I don't have much to say, to be honest. That's why I prepared this quiz. I liked it and I have very short summary. As we said, the plot starts with a scene where the seller of a house is crawling with slugs and somebody's throwing meat in the cellar, never explained.
My best guess is our resident drunk was just throwing his garbage down the basement.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I'm not going to say many names of these characters because I don't think it serves any purpose, but cut to next scene. A guy who's a complete creep.
No, that's the guy who lives in the house.
Is cheating on his wife with a 17-year-old or something.
So
he's like 14.
He was the one who, like, he was married, he was happy, they bought this house. Then he started cheating. Then his wife found out about one of his affairs and left him. And that's why he became a drunk and started, like, not taking care of his house. And, well, it fell into ruin.
I thought it was a different person. Never mind. I definitely paid attention in this.
No. Am I wrong? Are they different people, Danielle? Did I get that wrong?
Okay, I'm going to admit that the first, like, three chapters of this book I read after I had two glasses of wine, and so I don't quite fully remember the first three chapters of this book. I'm pretty good after
good choice.
That. The rest I read the rest of the week.
So he gets drunk, he's pretty depressed, he comes home, he falls on his face and somehow cracks his skull open, basically.
Yeah, he, like, trips on the coffee table.
Yeah, and he passes out, and then slugs start crawling in his house from the basement, and they start eating him a little bit, and one of the slugs get into his, like, skull or in his brain even, and he starts, like, scraping on the back of his head.
Yeah, they crawl through the ear.
Pretty disgusting,
mouth.
Pretty gruesome,
it's
pretty
all very gross.
Like, no joke serious horror at this point.
I have a question about this scene.
Slugs were actually menacing at this point.
They talk about how when they find it, spoiler, they come to the house and find his body, and there's blood splatter, like, all over the walls. Was it because he was moving around a lot? Did the slug? How does it work?
This guy mentions a lot about how, like, blood spurts. Like, he cracked his head and blood shot out of the wound in his head, like, you know, a car, like in a movie where they have, like, the pump in the thing and the blood squirts everywhere because that's how bodies work. We're all pressurized to extremely high pressure. And so every cut sprays out like a fire hose. I think that's what's happening in this book is, like, every time someone gets a wound, it starts spraying out like Quentin Tarantino movie or at the end of Sanjuro.
It really threw me off when I read the crime scene description later.
Yeah, this is just for horror effect. Like, they always have these horror tropes. They always have to be blood everywhere.
This is the only death that our hero actually observes in this entire book.
Yes.
And everything else that he does is speculation. Every other conclusion he jumps to is amazing speculation.
Yep. Yeah, I should have said that this is like the only kind of trying to be serious. Then it felt like the writer gave up and had loads of fun with Clefts. And then there was like a final scene with the scientist.
Bella, who doesn't have loads of fun with Clefts?
Yeah, exactly. He did the right thing. So Mike Brady inspects the body. They find slime trails and blood spurted everywhere for no reason.
Did we talk about how he's a health inspector or something?
No.
I mentioned it before. In the movie, he's health inspector.
Yeah,
he's also
a
health inspector
in the
book.
Yeah, so health inspector, he investigates murders, finds slugs, meets scientists. Scientist develops drugs.
Oh, boy, I have comments about
slugs.
That scientist. I'm sorry, that museum curator. Again, I'm not trying to deride museum curators. They're just completely different skill sets. The Venn diagram doesn't overlap that much.
Exactly.
Like, you couldn't take... You know, someone from a research lab and make them a museum curator, they wouldn't know what to do, and vice versa. Nonsense.
You can like sense how the writer was trying to, he even says in his interviews, he's trying to do his research, that if he does his research and writes about things that he knows about, it's going to come off more serious.
It was very obvious to me that the author like did some like whatever 1983 equivalent of Googling was, went to an encyclopedia. About, like, you know, how does water sanitation work?
Yes, exactly what he was talking about.
And then they add, like, the sulfur to neutralize the chlorine, and then we add the flora. Like, he did, like, the basics, but not enough to actually understand, just, like, parodying what he found, but not enough to actually understand what that all means, so.
So then, in between this overarching plot, we have, like, episodes of slug killings that escalate, and sex, of course. That's the book, basically. But we'll go over those scenes quickly, because I'm sure you have comments.
I do.
So after this scene with the death investigation, we cut to a butcher thing is now.
Well, the first is Mike and his... it's after Mike.
Okay. So we set up Mike and Kim, and this is the point where they talk about how they're in love, and they have the same retirement age. And he has to investigate disgusting burgers. And then he goes to investigate this house where he has to evict a guy. And he takes Archie with him, who's a bailiff for some reason. But they find the dead body.
I think Reese, right?
Is
the one who does the eviction. In the movie, that is rebranded as the sheriff because America.
So they go to the house, they find the dead body, blah, 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 slime trails. Mysterious slugs retreat into the cellar, and I think then there is a scene where the slugs mysteriously climb out of the cellar and go into the sewers in the night so nobody can see them. I like the comments on the black beasts that the night and the darkness of the sewers is beckoning them and luring them to go there. I like that remark. So cut to a butcher who for some reason stores his meat into cabinets? Like, what the hell are those cabinets?
Hopefully the refrigerator is what?
It could be smoked meats. Do they need
and
to
then
be
they start disappearing?
No, because I have even... cabinets been full. Their trays heaped with fine cuts of beef, pork, lamb, kidneys. I don't know if they're all smoked.
Yeah, what the hell is that? Like, it's like a horror movie scene? Like, I don't know.
I mean, a butcher shop has meat everywhere. That's fine. It's just like you want to make sure it's at a sanitary temperature.
All right, and he's like, "Oh no, who's been like getting my rotting away meat from my cabinet?" Oh no, slime trails. Next scene.
All the meat.
At the point that already the slugs have gone so far afield, there's no way that their plan to corral them all into one place and kill them all would ever work.
I was thinking that from the get-go of the story. I was like, "They're everywhere."
Exactly. Ridiculous.
Cut to the next scene. The receptionist complains about a clogged toilet. Mike gets on the scene with a guy who's the plumber or something.
Don Palmer, he's like the sanitation dude.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He was in the movie, that's why I know him.
And he comes up later in the final climax. So they stick a heavy steel rod in the sewer somewhere to do something, and they are resisted by a like mysterious force that holds the like the steel rod so Why? Powerfully they can't pull it out, and it's so like mesmerizing to them. And they finally pull it out, and there's a rotten apple on the rod for some reason. And they're like, "Oh, whatever, we're leaving. It's fine."
I don't understand again. Just like in the movie. What was pulling on the, like, this is not just that they're using this hook to try to dig out a clog from this woman's drain, but it was actively being, like, dragged further. I don't understand.
How big are the slug mouths? Can it, like, open up far enough to grab an entire metal rod?
I imagine that the slug muscle, like, legs, they, like, clench together and, like, lock around the rod. But then again, they're full of slime and it's very slippery, so they wouldn't hold on to it anyway.
It's a mystery. Whatever. Didn't we say in the last one that it was tied a rope around it or something? Didn't you have a whole solution?
Yeah, the slugs put a rope around the hook and dragged it to the pipe. Okay, sorry. Like a Rube Goldberg machine,
Because that was the only way they'd have exactly the force.
In the leverage, because they're slugs, they have no traction.
The slugs prepared a noose and like a super slug knot, and as soon as they put the rod inside it, they tied it and
a little slip knot.
I think you're right, that must be it.
Slip knot, yes. So next scene, a woman is masturbating.
Kind of. She's getting dressed and decides to have a little fun on the way to it.
Yeah, she doesn't quite get there.
Yeah. And thinking about how much she hates her ex.
Needless to say, I might cut this out. I don't even know if I should like censor myself, but he keeps saying cleft. Now he switched to mount. He keeps saying mound. It's not
Those
appealing.
Are pretty standard pretty use of like euphemistic,
so she...
like turgid. Turgid is another classic word in these books.
Don't say that out loud again.
Okay,
turgid. You don't like turgid. You don't like a moist turgid member.
Not when you're saying it. No. Oh my God.
Okay, now I have to leave this in.
Mom, please don't listen to this episode.
I should put this at the very beginning, like in a clip. It's like cleft turgid mound. So she has a daughter or son, or I forget, a child.
She has a son.
Son. So while the son is playing with the rabbit in the garden.
Very of mice and men.
does have that vibe.
Completely ignores the child. The child is playing with the rabbit. And as you might suspect from us commenting on the rabbit scene.
It goes badly.
For the rabbit.
This was the line I read to Daniel. Let me find it. That he keeps watching the rabbit being eaten by slugs. And then he starts chuckling because he's just a child, I guess.
No.
I don't know why.
This is made very explicit by the author for no apparent reason that this kid has some kind of mental disability.
Oh, I forgot that part. Okay.
And it is not clear why that needs to be made a big deal about.
Just to be disturbing. I think this is what good horror does. It sets a theme and then you are subconsciously like thinking about things while you read the other stuff. Like, I always talk about Clive Barker. I really like his writing.
Oh yeah, Clive Barker's good.
I love him so much. And he always had this like theme throughout the whole book. And you are constantly at the back of your mind thinking of something's wrong. And you have something like slimy, sleazy, like off... like kind of a feeling. And I think he's trying to do that here with this, what you just described, but he's not doing it at all.
But he's trying to give that like otherworldly, like, oh, this is something like that doesn't quite, you know, gel with our world, like something that is otherworldly and horrific. Mm-hmm. But it just feels not that. I don't want to say it.
So he chuckles and then, not knowing why, but... then he wrinkled his forehead as he saw the rabbit being reduced to a blood-spattered heap of fur. Is what happens. And the mother comes running out, and she does basically nothing, and next scene.
Weirdly, the slugs don't attack the child. They just attack
the
rabbit. Mm-hmm.
You think the larger source of meat would be the one they would go for.
Yeah, it's very odd. And he doesn't have any issues killing children, so I'm not sure why.
Yeah, we'll get to that scene.
So this part of the book, I was having like lots of fun, I have to admit. Like this scene, and then next one is the garden scene with the glove. I like this one.
Yeah, these, except if we took like the first five or seven chapters, or whatever it was, where like all the deaths, and then you have like more Mike Brady like going to these things and like seeing these things happening. And like,
that was too much. This should have been cut down, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I wanted more like clues. Like the whole point is like Mike should be like trying to piece it together. But he basically concludes they're slugs immediately. And then none of these deaths, like, help them convince people or do anything to, like, it has that same scene, and we'll get to it later, that they had in the movie where he goes to, like, the water people and says, shut off the water. He's like, no, you have to go to the council. He goes to the council, and they don't listen to him. And it's, but he does nothing to try to convince them. He's just like, oh, let me show all these bodies that are dying. That help prove. And none of that seems to matter. So I just wanted... Exactly. I wanted these to have some kind of relevance more.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Unfortunately, that's absolutely true. So cut to the glove garden scene, which is hilarious in the movie. Yes. Please watch that on YouTube if you're curious.
I cannot recommend it highly enough. It is probably my favorite scene in that movie is blows himself up because he can't take off a glove.
So for people who haven't listened or watched, guy is gardening like an old lovely gentleman. A grandfather, and he has a glove, and some slugs slide into his glove, and he puts his fingers into this slimy mess that we mentioned in the quiz, and he can't pull it out. What shall he do? He finds a pair of shears, a gardening shears.
And right. It was worse than this movie, in the book, I mean. The movie, he at least got a hatchet.
Yeah, that's my question. What's worse? So in the movie, he's trying to like whack on his wrist with the hatchet. In this book, he's trying to cut off his wrist with the shears, and he can't do it because he's got just one hand.
I feel
blood
like
starts spreading.
Shears, like, I don't know if you ever gardened, but garden shears are not like super sharp or strong. They're for cutting.
I think that's much worse.
Roses and plant stems. They're not going to like cut down a tree. A hatchet. You could really, I think you could cut through someone's arm much more easily.
I think the hatchet
really
is a more clever choice, but looks much crazier in the movie. And then the wife, like a grandmother, like runs out. No communication, no words said, nothing is exchanged. Immediately decides to grab the shears and cut off his husband's wrist.
He does tell her to cut it off. She doesn't want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really? I thought it was like pretty no discussion. She just did it.
He's like, shears or wrist, or he does some kind of like groan at her or cut it off, something like that. Also.
And sadly, nothing explodes.
Like in the movie, what a decision to jump straight from something's biting my fingertips to I must cut off my wrist. It's not like it's a snake venom thing.
I'm so confused as to why he can't even just like make the glove go like inside out or literally anything to get it off of his hand. It's not hard to get a glove off your hand.
Exactly.
It is extremely not, especially those thick gardening gloves, which are very loose on your hands.
Crazy.
They keep switching in this book from them being extremely slimy and not being able to like grab on them and grabbing on them extremely. Like in this case, you can't pull it out because he's being held by the slugs. And in the other scenes, they slide on the slugs and nothing is like, you know what I mean? It's just like whatever works. They can have ultimate friction on their slug mucoid slime, or they have just ultimate slipperiness.
Maybe it depends on how much they're secreting in that moment.
Yeah, you definitely can control that in a matter of seconds.
We will talk about those slugs and their amazing powers in a minute, I'm sure.
So in the movie, the greenhouse with the grandparents explodes. In this one, they don't explode, which is disappointing. But okay.
Yeah, that's, I agree.
So this is where the book switches to from episodes of slug murder to like kind of a longer plot. So we see Mike Brady going on investigations and being called to places where people died and talking to this museum curator and developing like the way to fight the slugs.
Well, he picks
a couple of things.
Yeah, he picks up one of the slugs that bites him. He like pokes a big slug
in the garden. My favorite part about that is after he like using the garden with his wife and a slug bites him, and he puts it in a jar to like take it to someone. But later he keeps telling his wife to like lock the doors.
Like, I noticed that too. I laughed out loud when I read that.
I remember.
Yeah, like I don't think the slugs really give, you know, any care for your door locks. Like it's locked or unlocked, the door is the same kind of impediment to a slug. It's all like, oh, the door's locked, I can't turn the handle.
Yeah.
I just don't know why they kept locking the doors and telling people to lock the doors. You'll be safe from the slugs.
So it starts with the gardening, and they take out copper coins out of a jar and put the slugs in the jar where copper coins were before. And I was like, huh, they're doing it? And
no,
the writer clearly didn't know this is a thing, that slugs are repelled by copper. Never mentioned again.
I have a few quotes from our naturalist, Mr. John Foley, who is the man that Mike brings the slug to because museum curator equals slugspurt.
How does he even know this guy? Does he mention that? Is he his friend?
I think he just took him to the museum and was like, there's gotta be someone at a museum who knows slugs.
So they met for the first time, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, whatever. Okay.
Okay. So when he asks, like, John Foley, when Mike asks John Foley, do you know anything about slugs? John Foley responds, Mr. Brady, you probably know about as much as about slugs as I do. In fact, no one seems to know very much specific about them. So I'm glad that Mr. Foley can declare that the world is ignorant about the mysteries of slugs.
I read that twice because I was like, there's nobody that knows anything about slugs.
What is he? And then he goes on in the next paragraph to tell a lot of facts about slugs that he just happens to know without, and before he goes and does the research, which is wild. He's like, I don't know anything about slugs. In fact, no one knows anything about slugs. Oh, here are all these slug facts, though, that I will give you.
That nobody knows.
Absolutely bonkers. John Foley is a menace.
So the museum curator investigates the slugs and he tests them by putting a pond snail into the same place as the slugs, and the snail is torn apart horrifically by slugs.
Back to Foley. At one point, Mike says to him, I'm asking you for the last time, could they have killed Ron Bell? So he's asking if the slugs have killed the old man. And Foley says, yes. Which... great. I just like, I just love how immediately John's like, yeah, murder slugs. In my scientific expert opinion, that makes sense. Although no one knows anything about slugs. But yes, they could have killed Ron Bell. That makes total sense. I'm sorry. I'm just, John Foley annoys me more in this book than he did in the movie. Because he seems to be more competent, but with less experience or reason to be competent.
He is definitely the MVP of this book. He does things, actually, that accomplish something. Huh? Yeah. The people just run around and find slime trails. That's all they do. So next up, there's the long, overarching, like, build-up of the guy who eats the slug and then dies.
Here's a question. So we have two people who consume slug parts. There's the small child who licks some of the mucus and becomes a vicious zombie child who bites her mother, causing her to tumble down the stairs, killing her.
So many thoughts.
Yeah. Yep. We'll get. I want all those thoughts to yell, but I just want to contrast this.
This is a setup for the sequel, I believe.
Yes. I want to contrast that with the other guy who eats a slug and ends up just keeling over while worms erupt out of his eyeballs.
I have the correct answer, excuse me, I'm the expert here. Because, Sam, the mucus is the slug mucus. We don't have any information, and definitely set up for a sequel will be explained as mind controlling powers. On the other hand, skittosomes,
the worms, the worm slug parasites
are in slug's bloodstream, which is a fact, and there is something called schizomyotosis. I hope I'm saying that right. But it's a condition where the schizomes get in your bloodstream and they
get to your brain.
Lodge into organs and mostly the brain where they grow and eat outside of it. So that's a thing that actually happens.
So we're just supposed to assume slug slime grants mind controlling powers without any...
That part is not explained at all.
Yes. But also, John Foley later says that the mucus is very... like he tried it on a rat in his lab. And the mucus is very toxic. The rat that was in it, he gave some to a rat, and the rat killed its partner in the cage before dying. Like, in a child, it would be toxic. In an adult, maybe not. And I'm like, it's some kind of weird neurotoxin or hallucinogen. Did they eat the slime? I don't know. I just was very confused about that whole thing.
The answer to that is yes.
Okay. I have to say, I have had a horrible brain fart just now. I was like, wasn't there a scene where the slugs eat a hamster?
That was the movie, yes.
It rides the hamster and then it eats it.
Yeah. If you want to, again, great scene up there with the greenhouse. Like, just below the greenhouse is hamster slug glued to hamster back. Rubber slug glued to hamster back.
So then it's even more multi-layered nonsense memory, because I thought, I was sure a few seconds ago, because I watched last week a movie called Slaughterhouse in 2023, just came out, and it's a sloth murdering people.
Slaughterhouse, the hamster. Genius.
So it was a thing. I watched that with Chen, and we laughed a lot. It was like borderline you know how I said it's striving to be bad on purpose? So this one was definitely trying to be bad on purpose, but it was still funny. I had way too much fun being drunk watching that. So if you ever want to have a bad time watching a really bad movie with a sloth puppet murdering people, I recommend it. It's called Sloth.
That's another one just I don't find threatening. Sloths.
The sloth?
Just watch.
But at least that movie's self-aware about it. It doesn't take the sloth seriously.
Watch the trailer, and after 3 seconds, you will be sure if you want to watch this. I was very sure I wanted to watch that after the first 3 seconds.
Got it. Well, I'll go to that
later. I am definitely looking
at that. Wait. Daniel, you have thoughts about the child murder, logically.
Oh, the child murder. I just, you were saying, I don't understand why it turns into a vampire, because it doesn't happen to, it's just like a random power that suddenly happens.
Yeah,
why? It's like a whole other plot line, and it's never brought up again.
Yes, it's the sequel.
Now, are you sure that the mucoloid mind control comes up in the sequel, or are you just speculating?
Speculating.
Okay, because I really want to read that sequel and it not be mentioned once in there and just be some random thing you threw in.
It's so random.
Got you. Got it on recording. She's going to read it.
Oh, you caught me. Curses.
It just made me really mad when I was reading it, because I was like, what is this weird vampire nonsense?
thank you.
And then another doesn't come up again.
This will come back. It doesn't, though. It never does. This will, because even John Foley, he brings it up again when he says he tested it on the rat and the rat went insane and killed his friends. I'm like, oh, because I thought what was going to happen, stupid me, was that as the slugs got into the water supply, and I have thoughts on how that's stupid later, but that the water supply become contaminated and start turning people into these vicious monsters.
That's what you'd like to see, yes.
But no, it's just the worm condition, because they just get nauseous and headaches. It's the same conditions as the guy who eats the slug. So I'm thinking the slime is the same thing. It's the parasite, and maybe the parasite's got into the child's brain and made her vampire crazy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's not clear. And I wanted, this is what I'm talking about, I wanted this to be crazier.
Medically, it makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. I was wishing for it. And apparently the sequel is all that, so hopefully, fingers crossed, it's actually amazingly crazy.
Yeah, sure.
I hope the event full on
if slugs are mind-controlling humans, I'm there for it.
Oh, Daniel's reading it too.
That's basically the plot of that M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Happening, right? Except there's plants controlling people.
That's also an amazing movie. I can't believe you haven't done that yet.
Yeah, you should do
show.
It, Sam.
Well, you know it too well.
I don't know it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Perfect. Perfect opportunity.
I don't want to. I don't want to have to watch Mark Wahlberg act his way, quote unquote, through that movie.
It's really hilariously bad. Yeah.
Maybe later. It is very much up there with Bird Box.
I haven't seen Bird Box. I can't do it.
Listen to our episode on it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, you have an episode. I missed that one. Then 100% I'm listening. That's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, we did it. It's done. 100%. Listen to our episode. It's the same as watching the movie.
It is, actually.
I also found recently, I'm going through the episodes, and I found you did the robot jocks, or what it's called?
Yeah, robot jocks.
That's my favorite childhood memory. I love that so much. It's like my childhood, like, cherished memory. I love that so much. I used to rewatch it.
What a movie.
I think you have new best friends, Sam. You guys are like the same person.
Oh, no, Daniel, you're not numbered.
I love Robot Jack so much. And only recently I found it. I was like, yes, I have to watch this again. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, we're glad we could be of service.
Just, I have to ask now, if you're my all-time best friend, Sam, did you watch Dino Riders? It's like a dinosaur animated, like, mecha dinosaur thing. They put mechanical robot stuff on dinosaurs and they fight, like, lizard men.
This is like a Saturday lasers. Morning cartoon, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. I'm getting that confused with Dinobots.
Because there's more than one story about, like, robot dinosaurs.
Dinobots was like Transformers, but dinosaurs. What if they turned into dinosaurs instead of cars? Which is a way better idea, because you get a dinosaur and a robot as a toy. It's great.
In my mind, I remember there was like 10 seasons, and I've watched so much of these Dino Riders. It was amazing. I keep watching and watching. And recently I found out that it was cancelled after 2 episodes, and it was just 2 episodes. And I just kept rewatching the 2 episodes.
You kept hallucinating more episodes in your...
Exactly.
Wow. This has turned into a real weird episode. I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's go. Let's move on. I'm sorry.
We're going to some weird places. This book has done to us.
So this, I'm just gonna sum this up in short. So this guy eats a salad and he's an important businessman, and he has this important business meeting, and he keeps having these undulating stomach ache pains because he ate a slug, and the slug has these schizosomes in the bloodstream, so they get into his brain. And finally we get to the same scene like the movie where they just erupt out of his face in the restaurant while he has a business meeting.
And it
meeting.
Is just as annoying in the book as it was when I heard about it in the movie, that he has such a bad stomach mm-hmm. ache that he doesn't go to the doctors. And in fact, in the book, he decides he's going to have sex while he has a stomach yes. ache. And I was like, what is this guy doing?
Just to distract himself from the pain.
I was really angry at him.
That scene is responsible directly for the quiz. This is when I thought of the quiz, because this was like, this is both. I can't deal.
Wild.
So, yeah. Pretty gruesome, though. I was surprised by the gore. It was pretty graphic.
I like that scene.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty horror, like,
that
proper
was
horror
fun.
Scene.
And the yeah. Americans were very American, which is also fun. I love seeing American stereotypes in British like media. It's so much fun. Their view of us in like British or like Australian media. It's great.
So then Brady is called onto the scene. He investigates the body. He finds slug slime trails and parasites.
I thought this scene was so funny because he shows up to the restaurant because the guys died in the restaurant, and then the assistant manager's trying to like top dog him. He's like, like, why are you here? And he's like, well, I'm the health inspector. I've got to, like, this stuff going on. It's the one scene where the health inspector would make sense to show up, because it's at a restaurant. There's like a dead guy in your yeah. restaurant. Mm-hmm, there's mm-hmm, worms mm-hmm. in your restaurant. And the guy's like, I don't know if you can come mm-hmm. in here, man. I was like, what? The one scene where it made sense.
I mean, a guy died, so well, he
also,
might have it as a crime
to
scene.
To be fair, the only reason he's there in the first place is because one of the other waiters called both the police and then the health inspector immediately afterwards.
Right, and it should the health inspector should be
dying.
There.
I don't disagree, but if someone was like exploding in worms in my restaurant, I think I'd call the police or the ambulance
oh,
first.
Sure.
Yeah,
it would
yeah,
not
yeah.
cross my mind to call the health inspector. I'd be like, let's wait till the body's cleaned up and then get the inspection going or whatever. Also, I just noticed in my notes I'd written this down. The amazing way this book treats women, there's a point where one of the characters who dies mentions that his wife was the manageress of a small but profitable boutique. I'm like, does that word have to exist? Manageress? That doesn't seem like a word we need.
Is it used frequently outside like of 1980?
Never that I've heard. Let's hope not, because it made me gag reading that word. Worse than the slug murders. It was like, oh, that's a gross word.
So after this, he goes back to Foley, the museum curator, and they talk about slugs, and they have all these slug facts.
Yeah.
And they start developing a poison. So they mentioned the famous razor blade, like the experiment, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they confirm they can do that.
Question. This is what annoyed me really quite greatly right now is, so Mike had purchased some commercial slug poisons and tried
them.
Oh,
yeah, that's what happened.
They did not seem to work. And so he goes to mm-hmm. Mike Foley. He's like, my poisons didn't work. And Mike's like, well, I think I can invent a new poison. I'm like, why? There are lots of ways to kill slugs that we know work. They don't require you to do any, like, synthetic chemistry of inventing new poisons. Like, you could burn them. You could kill them with salt. You could pour acid on them. Or a strong base, like Drano. You could pour, drain cleaner on them, like hydroxide. Like, all those things would easily kill slugs. So they kill pretty much everything. I don't understand. Like, you don't need to go to make a new novel compound to murder slugs. It seems like the simplest thing in the world. I'm so yeah. mad.
I was praying that something in the restaurant would happen. Like, oh no, these worms are attacking the cook.
No.
And he's surrounded by the worms. And oh, he's got a bag of salt. And he starts like throwing the salt all around him to defend from the slugs. And they are immune to the salt and he dies or something. Like,
I
want to
know
happen.
How a chef or literally anybody gets surrounded by worms to the point where they cannot escape. That's what I want to see.
Surrounded
like,
by
what
slugs.
Incompetent yeah. fool.
Yeah. They suddenly burst out of all the packets of meat he's got all around the...
Sure, okay.
So they go back to Foley, and Foley tries to develop this poison, then cut to random people. I think it's Bobby and Donna having sex and they die. All kinds of disgusting stuff happens. Do you want to go into it? Probably not.
We'll get to it. Yeah, at this, around this point, that don't the slugs start coming out of the taps or the faucet?
Yes, and then we cut to Brady and Kim, and they tie cloths over the faucet so they would.
How do the slugs get through a like the faucet's off? The taps are closed. Yep. Water can't get through. How do the slugs get through?
The rows of teeth, they like grind through the steel.
But why isn't the water coming through then? It's not like the pipes are empty. They're full of water.
Because they're organized.
I'm mad again.
It's an organized slug force. Half of the slugs blocks the water supply, and the other ones get in there and grind through the steel.
Do they have like a slug airlock? Do they make like a slug lock?
I mean, yes, exactly.
How does this happen?
Exactly.
How do the slugs get into the... This is like...
They clog the pipe from one side, then they do it from the other side, and they drill a hole in the middle of the water supply.
Also, okay, the
slugs
getting in through the sewers makes sense. Sewers are open. They're accessible. They can enter. They get into your house. There's not like water constantly in your sewer pipe. The slugs getting into the water supply makes no sense because those pipes are clean. They have to, and they're sealed. Like, that's the whole point, is they come from the water treatment plant and there's no leaking. Like, if the water is leaking out of the pipe, then you have no water pressure. Like, there's no how the slugs get into the water supply in the first place. None of this makes sense, and I'm mad about it. If they just kept them going through the sewers, like climbed up through the sewers, makes perfect sense. Why do they have to go through the water supply? They didn't need to. It didn't do anything for the plot. It didn't, like, nothing got solved. Like, yes, he had to call a doctor, like, are people getting sick? Like, yes, 9 people have come into my doctor's practice with the same symptoms. He's like, must be slug mucus in the water supply. But, like... that doesn't do anything. He tries to use that to convince him to turn off the water or to like go to City Hall or whatever, the council, and do something, but it doesn't. It's just completely irrelevant. It just goes with Foley's plan of dumping poison into the sewers to blow everything up secretly. It's... Mm-hmm. Why? Why does the book do that? Why does it make this a thing and then not do anything with it? You did all this work to set up the slugs in the water supply. Do something with it! Sorry, I got a little emotional there.
Yeah, this is exactly what I hate, but in this book I'm willing to let it go because they are not trying to set up any concept nor idea nor like...
Then why waste my time?
Oh, yeah. That's
so
true.
You could have been giving me more slug murder and said you were like, oh, they're in the water supply. Let me call this doctor and have this long conversation about, tell me if they're a patient. I can't tell you if they're a patient. Well, I'm the health inspector. I don't care. Well, you gotta tell me because people are getting...
That was bad, yes.
Why?
That's part of the worst. Please.
There were such good parts of this book that were like so much fun, but there was so much like interminable nonsense that didn't matter. You had to slog through to get, like, not even fun death scenes, but just like, yeah.
I'm afraid the answer to this question is if it wasn't there, the book would be less than 100 pages long and the writer had to write something so it would be published.
I'd love an abridged version of slogs that was all slogs all the time.
Yeah. Loads of these books, if they were condensed into 50 pages, I would be so happy. Like, I need like a super pulp concentrate edition of all these horror trope books in an omnibus. And each of the books is a short story, like condensed. I would love that so much. Somebody make this. All this right. is what we talked about in one of our other episodes. I want book remakes, like book reboots. Somebody do a book remake of Slugs and make it into 50 pages. I'd love it.
I think you could have prevented some of that too from if Mike had been more involved in some of the murders. Because then it would have tied in. You could have had all the murders or some of the murders and just had Mike somehow involved or know about them.
Like, I didn't mind the water supply stuff. Like, the water supply stuff was actually interesting. Like, oh, they're in the water supply. That's a real threat. Like, I was waiting, like in the movie, for the slugs to become a threat. Like, how do slugs, besides, you know, falling onto people falling into them or attacking people while they're having sex, how are the slugs a threat? And like, oh, if they are, like, poisonous and they get into the water supply and suddenly the whole town's water supply is contaminated, people are drinking it and dying, that's a legitimate, like, terrifying threat. Like, anyone who's drinking the tap water could be killed by these slug parasites. But it just doesn't go anywhere. And that was so frustrating because, like, there's a really good setup that is completely unutilized.
Yes, I have to agree.
So, sorry. I'm not trying to be too down. I feel like I'm giving like a feedback on a student's paper, and it's like, you know,
it's not
I'm doing
book.
This. I'm this is constructive criticism. I want you to do better. I want this to be better.
Yeah, this is one of his earliest books. So I would be very curious to read something of his much later in his career, because now he's about 60, 70 years old. So I'm curious what the progression was. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I hope he doesn't listen.
He's having so much fun.
He did
in his
lots
writing.
Of stuff where people are still alive, Sam.
Yeah, but I feel like I've been meaner in this one than the other ones. I did enjoy this. I want to be clear. I, for the large part, had a fun time. I just wanted... There were some parts of this that really got to me.
So... development. So now we get into your favorite rant. They go back to the scientist and he's developing the poison.
Yeah.
What is the poison? I don't know, but it explodes on contact. It's like a slug explosive. What? So
I know exactly how he came up with this. He's like, what's poisonous? Oh, arsenic. That's dangerous. But what is going to make this a super poison? He did some searching and found out that, you know, alkali metals like lithium and cesium, they can react violently with water. Like, oh, perfect. Slugs are mostly water. Mm. He mm-hmm. didn't figure out that they only do that when they're in their elemental form, like their solid metallic form, not when they are in a solution. When they're already in a solution, they're no longer going to explode in water. I don't get it. So anyway.
We find all kinds of interesting facts about the slugs for no reason, such as the bigger slugs are the leaders and they control the smaller slugs by sonar.
Danielle, please, you take this one. I've ranted enough.
Like, I don't know anything about slugs in real life, but I can't...
You know more than John Foley.
I cannot imagine that they're led by some kind of, like, Borg hive mind sort of situation where there's, like...
Borg slugs would be so much cooler!
Like, we're killing a few of the slugs would therefore affect all the other slugs.
Here's the wild part. Here's the part that really got to me. Like, in the movie, they make an attempt to justify that the chemical plant that's in the area has been dumping chemicals. That's what mutated the slugs. In this book, the slugs are just ordinary garden slugs. They're just regular garden slugs.
He says they even confirmed it multiple times.
Yeah. And they have just been taught to eat meat by the... like, the big slugs. The big slugs are like, hey, guys, I know you're herbivores, but what if you weren't? What if you ate meat slugs? And so John Foley's genius theory is if we kill the slugs that taught them to eat meat, all of us will be like, oh, yeah, I guess we can stop eating meat now and just go back to eating lettuce or whatever. Like, it's not... that's not how, like, you can't just change the diet for a species by, like, with suggestion. Like, hey, buddy, you know, eat some meat slug, buddy. You'll be fine. That's how your whole digestive tract will totally accommodate that new source of food.
Yep. I don't have any more to say about that.
He also suggests that they maybe crossbred with the carnivore slugs.
Yeah. But he says but that might be the big slugs, but all the little ones, like the ones coming out of the taps, were just regular garden slugs.
They confirm multiple times it's garden slugs, garden slugs, garden slugs. Why? I guess it's more menacing that all the garden slugs now become carnivorous slugs. I don't know.
And then immediately forget it when you kill the 6-inch slug leaders.
Why?
Why? Just give me a reason. Give me something to hang my hat on here.
It's sonar, Sam. It's sonar. They said it.
Slugnar.
This is a reason. Slugnar. So they try to build this plan how to, like, deploy 5 gallons of this poison into the sewers and stuff. But wait, cut to a gravedigger opening a coffin and falling his face first into the slugs.
Oh, yeah, this guy.
Hilarious. I like that part.
I mean, that was fun. That was a fun image of him falling into an open... How the slug get into the casket? I don't know. No one cares. They just He's a grave robber. He's opening a casket. It's full of slugs. He falls in. He's eaten by slugs. How the slugs get into the sealed casket? Good question.
I don't know why this was right here, like at the end of the book. Okay, cut back to the scientist. They're working on the plan.
I like that part.
Plan. So then they finally decide what to do. So they want to dump gallons of this explosive, basically, into the sewers.
Yeah.
But before they do that, they also want to kill the slugs in the cellar at the house from the beginning of the book.
Their plan, as I understand it, and again, I don't understand it, is to use Mike and Don Palmer as bait. Well, they're going to crawl through the sewers and lure the slugs to a central location that they will tell Mike, John Foley, to dump the poison into. They decide to start looking for, like, oh, the nest is probably near the first death, which is at this guy's house. So they go to the guy's house, and they find a bunch of slugs in the basement. They're like, oh, let's kill these with fire, which works great. No poison needed, so, you know, could have started with that at the beginning. And then they think to themselves, perfect. Now we can go kill the slugs in the sewer, as if this wasn't a great indication of the slugs are not contained in the sewers, and there's nothing that they're going to do to contain them all in the sewers.
It doesn't matter, though, because if you kill some of them, it's fine.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was just about killing the sum of the 6-inch slugs. I think the theory is the 6-inch slugs, the leader slugs, they are too big to like get through the sewer system. They just live in the sewers. They stay in the sewers, and they send everyone else out to do their dirty work. So they're betting all of their lives on that made-up fact.
Except that they see, don't they see some of the bigger ones out in the world? There's one that they stick into a jar that's like this, bigger.
That's a good point.
Somehow they decide this is true, but
because they know there are big ones, so the only way they would know there are big ones is if they've seen them outside of the sewer system.
That's a good point. It's a very good point, Danielle. This doesn't make any sense. Oh, also, while they're going to break into the house to murder the slugs in the basement, very importantly, Don gets his overalls sliced open on a piece of grass.
What? I forgot. I forgot it was grass.
If you have overalls that are susceptible to grass, maybe they're up to the task of being worn while you're crawling through sewers full of who knows what, rusty, you know, thrown away pieces of metal and fecal matter. I'm just saying, get better overalls, Don.
So they start crawling through the sewers. Drama ensues. They can't see the slugs. Slugs are in the darkness. Black beasts, such and such. They start crawling around. The slugs start kind of following them. I don't know how they know they're following them and they don't see them. Then they find this place, which in the movie was very anticlimactic because it was just water. Nothing was there.
Yeah.
In the book, they actually have loads of slugs sliming all over the place. And then they start escaping somehow, somewhere through pipes, get stuck. And then there's this grate that they try to pull open. Meanwhile...
Sorry. Don makes a point of bringing a screwdriver, which he demonstrated earlier, that there are grates over some of the sewers, and he uses a screwdriver to remove the grate. Great. Makes sense. They get to this one grate, and Mike's like, give me the screwdriver so he can, instead of like unscrewing the four screws that hold it closed, he just starts like trying to tear it off the wall. Yeah. I'm like, it would have been so much faster just to unscrew the four screws and take the grate off. You killed your friend because you couldn't figure out how a screwdriver works.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the other guy, I think it's Palmer, maybe?
Nope.
He keeps following them. No, Foley?
Foley's Foley up the top following them.
He's following them in the car, like with the walkie-talkie talking to them. Like, I don't know how he knows where to go with the car, but I guess
he has
kind
a map,
of makes sense of it.
And Don keeps telling him we're at this intersection or whatever.
Somehow he knows exactly where they are when they get stuck, and he ties a rope to the grate and pulls it open with the car or something happens like that.
Yeah.
So then the guy, Palmer, gets killed?
Yeah.
Because they get into the slit of his overalls.
That the grass made.
Yes. And he can feel the warmth through the overall and all that. Slide up in there.
They do slide up in there.
Yeah. No, Danielle, no. Why?
You know what? If I had to sit through the woman getting all slit up in there, you guys can sit through the guy getting slit up in there.
No, I don't want anyone getting slit up. That's my point. I don't need anybody getting slit up in there. He does mention quite graphically how the slugs do love a scrotum.
And an anus.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I didn't include this in the quiz, mind you. I was mindful that I shouldn't include that one.
Thank you.
That was the line.
You're forgiven.
That was a line I didn't cross. I had it on the list and I crossed it out, so you should thank me.
Oh, boy.
So, who's the guy's name? Brady. He saves himself, barely. And they start pouring the chemical into the sewers, which I was confused why isn't it exploding immediately on contact, but okay, it just goes in the sewer and explodes in with delay a little bit somehow.
So what I think happens is it explodes pretty immediately, but then it ignites all the methane in the sewers,
okay,
which causes a secondary explosion. That's the one that
like
knocks
some
the manhole
some kind of chain reaction going on.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how, while they're pouring, why they didn't explode themselves while they were pouring it in there. Like, why doesn't, I don't know.
It's a good question.
They conveniently wait until it's all poured in there and then it explodes.
I mean, to be fair, they could have accomplished the same thing just by lighting a match literally anywhere in the sewers and causing the methane to explode, apparently. Like, much like in the movie where the whole sewer system explodes, the whole crawl through the sewers to find the nest thing did not matter and was pointless.
So, town is saved. Everybody's happy, kind of. No mention of the authorities on anybody there.
Yep, nobody gets in trouble for exploding a sewer and killing a man down there.
He even says he's going to bring more people there like the next day or whatever to check everything was okay. And I was like, who are you bringing in? You earlier asked. Said you couldn't tell anybody about this.
Yeah. The slug patrol.
There's no collateral damage except one manhole cover exploding on a cyclist or something. I forgot what happened. But okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then we get to the post-credit scene. Ooh, slug eggs in a salad. Who's gonna eat that?
Yeah, I believe a farmer brings a lettuce full of slug eggs to a market in London.
Dun dun dun!
And the next book takes place in London. So
Slug
definitely...
2, Electric Slugaloo. Danielle, what was your favorite death in the slug book?
The guy who ate the slug. Though I did like the child turning into a vampire. I thought that was pretty funny, but just contextually for something that actually made some semblance of sense. I liked the whole work up to the guy eating the slug, even though I was really annoyed he didn't go to the hospital. But I just thought
it did have the most build-up.
Yeah, it had the most build-up, and it was, pretty well-written.
And it was actually gory.
And you didn't know what was going to happen. Yeah. You knew something bad was going to happen, but it was like, are slugs going to erupt out of him? No, it's worms. Okay, sure.
Yeah, it's a great double fake. I love it. Absolutely fair. Yeah. That's a good choice. What about you, Philip? Your favorite death in the book?
Yeah, thinking about that, I liked all the slug scenes. I was most amused by the grave digger because it was so unexpected. It's like so serious final scenes of the book, and then, let me rob this grave. What's gonna happen?
That was one of my favorite ones too, I'll admit it. Because it was just like, why? Why is this here? It's not relevant. Oh, grave full of slugs? I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Literally.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
But the most well-written, I agree with Daniel. Yeah, that was actually some horror.
I think the slug stomach one was the best one in terms of quality. I thought the gravedigger was the one I had the most fun with.
Yep. Yeah, so I think we got to the end successfully. I'm glad we survived.
The slugs, they're coming for us.
I will not promise anything to anybody, but I would love to read the sequel at some point. Not right now. Give me a break. Maybe next year, Halloween or something. And thank you so much for agreeing to waste your time with slugs with me. I am very grateful that you agreed. None of my other co-hosts would agree, so I'm very happy.
Thank you for wasting time with slugs with us.
I feel like we make your podcast so much longer, so we waste way more of your time than you waste of ours.
You make it so much better because you usually skip over all these nonsensical facts and you have so much more insight. No, so it's
we
perfect.
Have a compulsion. It's a disease. This is why we have our podcast. Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening. Enjoy your Halloween. On the next episode, we're gonna get into Wendigos and the Flatwood Monster. We have to talk about those.
Very cool.
I do love a good cryptid. I
look forward to that on Halloween. Get your slug costumes on. And
ooh, wiggle wiggle.
Oh no.
It's practicing.
See you on the next episode.
Bye everybody.
Bye.
Bye.